Another year. Same thing. Same thing. Mental lapses. Old, slow, not athletic. Like I said, all right, I already said it. Mental lapses. Attention to detail. No attention to detail. No focus. No energy. No heart. Same thing. Every season. is honestly getting, is getting tired to watch, bro. I'm really getting over it. But what's up? Another episode of Off the Cliff Look. Another episode of the Off the Cliff Show brought to you by 14 for Market Podcast Network. Make sure you are liking, subscribing if you're watching on YouTube. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, make sure you hit that like button. Even Knicks fans, y'all all came to my comments after the game, been talking to me all week throughout this series. Make sure y'all hit that like button and subscribe button too. Appreciate y'all, man. It's all love. But back to the Sixers, man. This is another team with absolutely no heart, no dog in them, no fight. They just do this thing where they just wilt in the biggest situations where you need a stop or you need a bucket or you need that key rebound. They've been losing to those specific plays all series by the Knicks, and the Knicks just wanted it more. I've been saying that the Sixers are the better team pretty much on paper all series, and I still stand by that because they are the better team. Like, depending on how much they played together all season, like injuries, whatever, right? They are the better team, but the Knicks want it more. And I did not think that they could survive on a 7-game series playing like that, where their offense is basically Jalen Brunson, save us. If not, we're just going to crash. Every time you miss, the entire team is just going to crash the rebounds, right? And the Sixers just refuse to show any heart or show any reason to stop any of that, right? If you go look at the rebounds by the Knicks, like, there's no reason. Josh Hart has 17 rebounds. OG Anunoby has 14. The Knicks' offensive rebounds, they had Knicks offensively, they had 15. They had 15 offensive rebounds, 37 defensive rebounds. Like, it's just these things are just like effort plays, right? And I know the Knicks had they have more athletic, they have more, they have youth, they have just players that hustle more and that want it more, and they just have better rebounders than that. The Sixers just don't. I thought that the Sixers would just man up and be like, okay, we're just going to box out every time a shot goes up. They just refuse to do it. But then I also saw that it was just something that the Sixers, it was just inevitable, because like most of those rebounds, like OG Anunoby or Josh Hart or whoever, is just jumping over every Sixers player, and it's because they're old. They're unathletic. They can't jump. They can't run. Like, we're depending on 40-year-old Kyle Lowry and 40-year-old Nicholas Batum to play heavy playoff minutes for a team with championship aspirations. It was just never going to happen. It's terrible roster construction by Daryl Morey. He went into the deadline, half-assed it, because you don't know what's going to happen with Joel Embiid. But he went into the deadline and was like, all right, well, we're just going to go acquire Buddy Hill, give up 2 second rounders or whatever. We're going to get 40-year-old Kyle Lowry, and we're just going to depend on them. Buddy Hill has been unplayable. Campaign, I forgot he got Campaign too, but Campaign has had more minutes than him. And it's just like, what are we doing? Like, they never actually had a shot. Like, Joel was coming back with 4 or 5 games left in the season. This is like his 13th game back. It's just like, it's terrible. Like, it's just terrible roster construction by Daryl Morey. We've been saying the same thing over and over. They're always slow. They always have mental lapses. They never have attention to detail. They're never focused. They're unathletic. They can't shoot. Like, the Knicks took advantage of, they were able to wipe Joel and Tyrese Maxey completely out of the game on offense because the others could not hit shots or take advantage of the Knicks hard doubling Joel when he touched the ball and hard doubling Maxey to get the ball out of his hands and crowding the paint. It was so frustrating to watch. It was a couple of times Kyle Lowry would have an open three and he would pump fake it just because his release just was not fast enough. And the Knicks were flying around because they knew, like, none of the Sixers, well, nobody outside of Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid were there to take over for the moment. Like, even Kelly Oubre, who had, like, I don't have a problem with how Kelly Oubre played today, but it's like, he made some pretty dumb decisions down the stretch of the game. Like, it's tough to watch, man. Like Joel Embiid gets blamed too, because like ever since he's come back, he's been a terrible rebound. Like, he's been like just average, like an average rebounder, averaging like 8-9 rebounds a game. When before the injury, he was averaging at least 12 rebounds a game. Didn't look like he could jump, or it just didn't look like he was interested in rebounding the ball. Like, he fought, but it's like, it's the same thing every season. He got completely shut out of the game in the fourth quarter. And there was a stat in this series in the fourth quarter. Game one, Joel was 0 for 5. Game two, he was 2 for 6. Game three, he was 1 for 2. Game four, he was 0 for 5. And he's shooting 3 of 18 overall from the field in the final frame. And, like, Joel shrinks in these moments. Like I said, like, they were hard doubling. But at some point, bro, like, you can get – at some point, you have to, like, fight for low position. He was letting OG Anunoby push him off his spot on the low block. And he was catching the ball, like, damn near on the elbow away from the rim, which made it easier for the Knicks to double team him. And there's sometimes you just have to fight for a very deep low post position, catch the ball, and then immediately go so the double can't even get there fast enough, or get it like just closer to the rim. Like, he was making some of the right plays, like passing the ball out. But at this point, you have to insert your will and show that you are the most dominant big man ever outside of Shaquille O'Neal, right? But he didn't do that. He too often shrinks in these moments. Even last year in game six, where he complained that he didn't get the ball down the stretch. No, you have to want the ball. You have to want to show up in these moments. And he just didn't, man. This isn't like a solely blame Joel Embiid thing, because there's tons of blame to go around from Nick Nurse, Tyrese Maxey. I'm going to get into all of that. But like, this is just something that has plagued the Sixers for multiple years. And I don't know what they need to do. Maybe they need to. Well, I have some thoughts on that, but that's for the offseason. That's going to be a completely different video, what they can do. But now they're down 3-1 to the Knicks, and they're going to lose in MSG, and they're going to lose in 5. Another person, like I said, is other blame to go around. Tyrese Maxey completely folded in this game. Like, he had nice numbers. Let me see. He had 23, 6, and 6. Shot 8, 21 from the field, which is only 38%. Was 3 from 9 from 3. Like, he was okay, but he completely folded when they needed him most. It was one where I think, like, it was a hard trap. No. Kyle Lowry. They double-teamed Kyle Lowry for some reason. He kicked it over to a wide-open Tyrese Maxey for 3. And he completely bricked it. And I'm like, that's the three he always makes. He bricked it. He had like some dumb decisions. He chased down a loose ball that went into the backcourt, chased it down, grabbed it in the corner, shot the three, missed. He couldn't get a layup. He couldn't get all the way to the rim. I don't even remember him shooting a floater, but he looked disinterested. Even on the final possession of the game with Kyle Lowry, it's intentionally about to miss the free throw, right? He is just spaced out. He has no idea that Kyle Lowry is about to miss the free throws in his miscommunication. And then he's like, oh, snap. And then just like, he just wasn't there today. I don't know what was up with him. He wasn't really aggressive. It was tough to watch. And it's like, I've seen people on the timeline questioning, like, is he a number two? Is he a number three? Like, at this point, he's 23. I don't know. Like, this is just one game. Like, I can't believe it. Oh my God. I mean, going forward, he is going to, if he is a number two on a championship team, he is going to have to just constantly be aggressive. I said that he's the closer on the Sixers team because other teams are just going to aggressively double team Joel Embiid, right? But if Maxey can't, he couldn't even get a shot off. And he was the reason that there was a shot clock violation where Precious Achiuwa blocks Joel Embiid's three. And it's like Maxey gets doubled, I think, two or three different times trying to get around the screen. And it's like, why are we running a Kyle Lowry, Tyrese Maxey screen instead of just putting Achiuwa in a situation where he has to decide whether to guard Joel Embiid or Tyrese Maxey, like doing that two-man game? I don't know what Nick Nurse was doing down the stretch, but I said that Tyrese Maxey is the closer of his team. He did not show it today. It's all right. Like, you're going to have games. He's 23 years old. You're going to have games where he just looks out of it. It just sucks that it happened in this situation, in the playoff game, in the first round, and it's annoying. Back to Joel Embiid. He had 3, like, bad turnovers in the third quarter, and it's like every time, I said it last video, it's like every time the Sixers got that lead to, like, 10 or 12, they would immediately do something completely stupid, and it will always lead to a Knicks bucket. Like, they could not hit the shot that ballooned the lead for the Knicks not to be able to come back. And it was just so annoying to watch. He had some ill-advised passes. He was like, him and Max were going to do the DHO. Max, he decided to back cut. Joel just throws the ball. He kept trying to hit Kelly Oubre under the rim. I don't know if it was Kelly Oubre could touch the ball. There was like bad passes. He throws like an underhand pass to Maxey down the court. Maxey has to use his speed to catch up to it, but that was almost a turnover. And it's like, in these moments, Joel just has these mental lapses, and you go as your leader goes, right? And like, the team overall does it. And it's probably because like their leader does it. And he like doesn't make smart plays when they need him to. And it's something that's just plagued him his entire career. It's like, I guess when he gets tired, because he, of course, we're going to talk about the non-Joel Embiid minutes too, but when he gets tired, he just forgets how to basketball. He has no energy. He doesn't know what to do. It's so annoying. I talked about the non-Joel Embiid minutes. They were terrible. Paul Reed got in there, and for some reason, Paul Reed decided this game he was going to try to score. I think he shot the ball three times when he got in. It's like, what are you doing, bro? Like, why is Paul Reed touching the ball so much? There were possessions where Tyrese Maxey wasn't even getting a touch. It's like, what are we doing? And of course, that's the when we had the 10. That's when the Sixers had a 10-point lead. And of course, the Knicks come back, cut the lead to like two. And then you have to force Joel Embiid back in. And then the run has already happened. The Knicks already had a momentum. And it's just like, what are we doing? Like, why can't the Sixers cannot survive when Joel Embiid is on the bench? And it's been constant for multiple years. We all thought this was the year. We thought this the Sixers team is deep enough to where they could survive the non-Joel Embiid minutes, especially because they have Tyrese Maxey. But they could not do it this game. They have not been able to do it this series. I know there's a stat out there that I think the Sixers dominate the Embiid minutes, but when he's off the court, the Knicks dominate those minutes. And it's like the Knicks game plan is, all right, well, just make sure we keep the game close while Joel is in, and once he goes out, then we're just gonna come back, break all momentum, and then out hustle them, right? And then that forces Joel. Nick Nurse decides, all right, he's just gonna play the entire third and fourth quarter. Joel, of course, gets tired. It was a possession where he stood in a corner, and it's like, what are we doing? Like, as a superstar, I get it. Like, he's gonna get tired, but as a superstar, you have to insert yourself into the game. Like, the pick spots where you're gonna take breaks, not. Like, pick spots in the third quarter where you're going to take off, not in the fourth when we need you. Like, use all of your energy in certain moments. Like, rise to the occasion. I'm sorry, but it's playoff basketball. It's big boy basketball. Daryl Morey said, your best card you can pull in the playoffs is that you can play your best players longer. And it's just like, the Sixers cannot do it with Joel because he always gets tired and he gets drained. And like, I'm going to give him some slack. This one, like, his 13th game back. I don't know if it's like a conditioning thing at this point, but like, whatever. Yeah, man. Another thing, the Knicks took over the Wells Fargo Center. I just wanted to make this abundantly clear to Sixers fans and other people, right? The Knicks taking over the Wells Fargo Center is not a surprise at all. I've said it for a long time now. Sixers fans are the worst fans in the big, like, outside. Sixers fans are worst fans in the big four compared to the big four of Philly sports, like the Phillies, Flyers, Eagles. Sixers fans usually don't, they're not really true basketball fans. They only watch, most Sixers fans, but like they only watch the Sixers. They don't watch any basketball outside of the Sixers, especially during the regular season. They don't really are, they're not fans of like just pure basketball. They don't actually know what they're watching. There's not like a, as opposed to like the Eagles or the Flyers or the Phillies where they're like really in tune. The Sixers are just there. And I guess it's like kind of Sixers' fault as well because they have not given fans pure any like true hope that they can ever get out of the second round or make a deep playoff run for fans to abundantly care. And that's just what it is, as opposed to Knicks fans, where I tried to make the comparison. Knicks fans to the Knicks are what the oh my god, how did I explain this? The Knicks are to the fans what the Eagles are to the Knicks are to New York people what the Eagles are to Philly people. And like, that's my best way to explain it. So they're gonna travel. Like, look, they don't have anything outside of the Knicks. Like, look at their football team. And I'm not bringing up baseball. Like, who watches baseball? We're not gonna act like baseball is a real, like, a sport that people just watch or like constantly. It sucks. But they're like, look at their two football teams. They have the Jets and the Giants. They suck and they begin their ass kicked by Philly for multiple years. I think the Jets got their first win on Philly since they became an organization, and that's their first, I believe, yeah, that was their first one ever versus the Eagles. Then was that last season? Might be, yeah, it was last season. They had their first win ever off of the Eagles. The Giants suck. Like, they have nothing else but the Knicks. The Knicks have some hope. Like, no other team has any type of hope in that city except for the Knicks. And we're not talking about baseball, like, who cares, right? So they follow the Knicks. The Knicks, even they're like, the Knicks, they know they're not winning a championship this season, but they have some hope there. And that's the only thing that New York people can cling to because their other sports teams are terrible. So like, I get it. So they like, I'm cool with them. They took over the Wells Fargo. Who cares? Like, Sixers fans suck. They're not the Eagles fans. They're not Phillies fans. They're not Flyers fans. Like, it's whatever. And I just need people to just understand that's what the situation is. So don't say it's embarrassing. Don't say that that should never happen. Like, it'll be different. Like, it's some blame on the Sixers, but it's also like, they're just, Sixers fans are not actual basketball fans. So they're not going to show up like they do for the Eagles or the other four teams, man. Not just, I was seeing that and I'm like, just whatever. It's like, it was a whole whatever thing for me. But yeah, man, Sixers down 3-1. I honestly don't know what they do in the offseason. Like, I even said, like, every player better be under 32 and they better be athletic. They better be able to shoot and they all better be able to dribble. Because I'm so tired of Joel and Tyrese Maxey having to go through this thing where, like, they could, nobody else can help because nobody else can do a single thing on offense. And, like, nobody else can contribute. Everybody's slow. Everybody has slow processing speeds. They just need athleticism. That's how they got beat, and they're just going to continue to get beat because they don't have any heart, and nobody's athletic enough to even keep up with the Knicks. Like I said, Josh Hart, 17 rebounds. OG Anunoby, 14 rebounds. Like, they should be ashamed of themselves. The highest rebounder in the Sixers today was Joel Embiid with 10. Like, come on, bro. But yeah, man. It's tough to watch. Especially when you could pretty much tell early on, like, Sixers, like, they kept getting a 10-point lead. Like, they keep getting double-digit leads. And they just cannot capitalize on those leads because, like, their situational awareness is so bad. It's like they get the 10 or 12 point lead. And then, like, Joel Embiid, I think he went like 1-on-3 one time where they could have pushed the lead to 12, 13. They got another 10 point lead. Maxey shoots a step back or like a step back baseline jumper over DiVincenzo. It's like, bro, what are we, like, just get a good shot. And they, like, just shoot these ridiculous shots that it has high probability that is not going in, and they just continue to do it when these are momentum swinging plays, like where they could push the lead to 12-15, and pretty much you can grace yourself with non-Joel Embiid. You can sit them for like 2 to 3 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes, because, you know, all right, if the Knicks do make a run, then okay, then they're still down 10. We can bring Joel back in. It's going to be even tougher for them to come back from that deficit. So it's like, I don't know, man. Nick Nurse holds some blame too. Rotations have been awful the entire first round. He's not trying anybody new. Like, he tried campaign. Okay, that was a good switch up. But not knowing that you're getting beat on the boards this bad, he did not try anyone else. He didn't try KJ Martin. He didn't try Ricky Council. Like, I get it. Like, you're gonna get, there's some give and take with them, right? But you have to try something to where you cannot just keep getting beat over the head by the Knicks just beating you off of offensive rebounds and giving up multiple possessions, right? And then he just doesn't care. Like, even on offense, the offensive sets that he was running, like, with the game on the line, he ran a Kyle Lowry and Kelly Oubre pick and roll. I'm like, what? I don't know, Merle. I don't know. Yeah, man, I guess we'll be back for game 5. Knicks probably close it out at MSG. I think the Sixers are done. Yeah, man. Whatever. I'll let y'all, make sure I like, subscribe. Yeah. We out.